Amen. Welcome to Briarcliff. Some of you here for the very first time. In fact, I met a number of you here for the first time. Just welcome those people here. Would you do that? And would you let them know that Briarcliff is a place where... You're getting good. You're finally catching on to that. So, do you know your genealogy? Have you ever traced that back and know how far? You know, I'm an only child. My dad was an only child. His dad was, I don't even know, lose track. I don't have any heritage that I know of. I just don't know who I am yet. I'm working on that. I do know that the name Armitage is an English name. And in fact, the most concentrated area on the planet of Armitages is in Yorkshire, England. In fact, there is a town called Armitage Bridge. And I knew you already knew that because you could tell that by my English accent. I always wanted, I wish some way that my heritage hadn't lost that, because I always think that English accent sounds a whole lot smarter than South Missouri brogue, you know. But anyway, I've got an English background. But more importantly, look at the life of Abraham. Here's where genealogy becomes so very significant. Have you read Matthew chapter 1 lately? It's kind of the sermon next chapter of the Bible. It'll put you to sleep. You know, it's a genealogy, one after another after another. Who does it start with? It says, here is the ancestors of Jesus, and it dates back to what man? Abraham. Abraham. Perhaps the most significant person in the Bible outside of Jesus is Abraham. Why would I say that? I think that's worth unpacking to find out about this man called Abraham. You know, God created the world. Sin entered the world. We see all that in chapter 1, 2, and 3. And then came along the flood after that, and then the Tower of Babel. But it was 17 generations after Adam that Abraham came along. And he was a pagan. And as God looked at his plan of redemption to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, he looked down in this pagan world in Ur, which is now known as Iraq in the Mesopotamian area. And he looked down and saw this man, Abraham, in a vile world that didn't understand God, didn't understand his plan, didn't understand the hope that was given in him. And God began to work in Abraham's life. And the Bible says that he responded in faith. Now let's back up before we look at the book of Hebrews. And I want you to look at a very important passage, and that is Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. And I want you to pick up on this. First of all, it says, Abraham believed God. It wasn't a matter that he didn't believe beforehand. He believed in a pagan culture. It wasn't a matter that he just started having faith at that point. The point is that he began to have faith in God. So it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him as what? Righteousness. The only way of righteousness is in believing. We'll unpack that a little bit more later on. Know then that it is through faith who are the sons. Now I'm beginning to see who I am. Sons of Abraham. I am a child of God in the heritage of Abraham. And Jesus told the Jews one time, he says, you're not one of God's children just because you are a Jew. That does not come because of your heritage. It only comes by faith. Abraham was known for his faith and he became righteous. He goes on to say in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, that's all of you and me, by what? By faith. Watch this. Preach the what? Preach the gospel beforehand. The gospel didn't start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, known as the four Gospels. The word gospel just means good news. It's good news of God's redemptive plan and His love for us and how He plans to redeem mankind. That started with Abraham. No, in fact, it started before that. Genesis chapter 3. If you look at it, Genesis chapter 3, God begins to unfold a promise. And He says in Genesis chapter 3, when God was talking to Satan, He said, her, talking about Eve, her offspring, who is that? You know, it's not offsprings, it's not a gene. Her offspring is the particular person. Who is that person? Her offspring, that person, through her offspring, will crush your head. Now, you will bite the tail of that snake. You will bite, he's talking about Jesus. He will crush your head. Satan thought he had won when Jesus died on the cross, but Jesus was resurrected. So the gospel begins to unfold as early as Genesis chapter 3. But then we begin to see that personified in the life of Abraham. And Abraham then was the father of the nation called Israel. And it was through this nation that God planned to redeem the world. And today that is the heritage that ultimately came down to Jesus. So it says here, he preached faith. Preached faith, that is the gospel. Now I want to just pause for a moment and ask you, what's the big deal about faith? That's God's plan. Why didn't God just give us a bunch of steps to follow, you know, and say, you know, there's five pillars that if you do all these five, then doing these five, that's the way you get to heaven. Or here's this ladder, and you climb up this ladder, and you keep doing good things, and eventually you work your way up to be fit for heaven. He didn't say any of that. He said, by faith. Why is that? He boils it down to faith, not only faith, but faith alone. There's nothing else. I'll tell you why. Faith is the very essence of a relationship. And what God wants more than anything else is a loving relationship with you that lasts for all of eternity. Any kind of relationship that has any kind of depth and love and meaning is based on trust. You break that trust, and it damages severely that relationship. So what God wants, He doesn't just want you to fill out a paper of five steps or five pillars or a ladder. He wants a relationship. He wants to know you and you to know Him in a vital relationship of love. So there's three times in Hebrews it talks about by faith. Let's look at them. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Let's just stop there. Let me ask you another very basic question. What is faith? Isn't that a pretty simple question? If I would have you to turn to your neighbor right now and say, faith is, how would you finish that statement? Faith is what? Faith is what? I was on a talk show on radio some time ago, and one of the callers called in and said, would you tell me what faith is? And all of a sudden, I realized I'm not sure how to do that simply and saying, what is faith? I'll tell you what it is not. It is not a feeling, necessarily. You know, you see people saying, well, I just feel like it is right. You want to bank your life on a feeling? Is that feeling always dependable? I've been in the car before and I just felt like I was going the wrong direction. That wasn't a good, reliable source of information because I was going the wrong direction. So faith is more than a feeling. It's more than intellectual assent to a certain set of doctrines or a creed. That's what Jesus is trying to say to the Pharisees. You can get all this doctrine and creed all straight, but that doesn't build a relationship. It is by faith, not in intellectual assent. And it is not case of raw, say raw, whatever will be, will be. I've heard some parents, you know, they don't know what to do with their kids, and they say, well, I'm just trusting God. Well, good luck with that. You've got some responsibility there. That's a cop-out. I'm just trusting God. What about your kid? Okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, will be. So faith is not those things. So what is it? See, faith is a commodity that we are all given. It's a faith that we use every single day. We use faith in all kinds of ways. So what is faith? So what I was struggling with is how do you clearly and simply say, this is what faith is for a follower of Jesus? That's different than just faith. Faith and faith means nothing. Means nothing. So he goes on here to talk about what it is. It's more than a feeling or optimism or case of raw or assent and all that. He says in verse 1, in fact, go back to chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the assurance. Let's break that down. Faith is the assurance. What's the word assurance? It is translated into English as a hypothesis. That's the word for assurance. Hypothesis is a essence of a foundation that is concrete. So faith depends on what you put it in. If you put your faith in a feeling, it will probably finish before finish. It'll fizzle before finish. Faith is only as strong as the assurance. It's that concrete essence that you place it in. So what is faith? Faith is the assurance that you have put that in the right thing. You know, many of you all work for a paycheck, and it's all based on a promise. They promise you at the end of the week or at the end of the month, you'll get a paycheck. Would you continue in that job week after week after week, and they keep promising, promising, but never do come through? You begin to say, there's something wrong with this picture. And it may be that they'll never pay you. So faith is built on a promise. And the promise is one that God gave to Abraham. It's a promise that he gives to us. That is the strength of faith, is the assurance of a promise. Now, it goes beyond that. Faith is, and that's what it means, faith is assurance, but also it is a conviction. Some translations, pick up two or three different translations of the Bible, and it will be translated one or two ways. It'll be a conviction or evidence. It is evidence. Faith is not a blind shot in the dark. Faith is not an ignorant step in the dark. Faith is based on something very concrete, and there is evidence for it. What evidence is there? The evidence we have is the very love of God. He died for us. Jesus actually died for us on the cross. Is there a greater love for us than that? He has given us evidence of his love. He has given us his word that there is no other book in all of humanity like the Bible. Written over a period of how many years? Just checking. Written over a period of how many years? 1600. How many authors? 40-some. Now you begin to see the, and who's the hero of all of that? God and His redemptive work. And you begin to see how He interweaves it in. There's no other book like that in all the world. It's more than a book. It's a library of books and history of how God has worked through people in His redemptive acts. The evidence, the ultimate evidence is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you can bank your life on that. Jesus said, he who believes in me shall live even when he dies. You've heard me say it over and over, and I hope you have it memorized. Following Jesus is the best way to live and the only way to die. Let me ask you, what concrete essence are you placing your faith in? The ladder, that you can be good enough? Five pillars you can try to keep? Or trusting a promise that has already been done for you? See, that's what the choice comes down to. And that is faith. Now, the next word in this passage is by faith, Abraham, what did he do? By faith, Abraham obeyed. There is no viable faith without the obedience, to obey what he says. Faith would be very evil, in fact, if you just trusted something that could not come through for you. We sang a song a moment ago that I just so deeply appreciate, and many times I would sing that song driving along and so troubled in my spirit. And I would just trust, I'd just sing this song, trust and obey. For there's no other way. No other way to be happy in Jesus. That's a relationship, you see. Are you happy in that relationship? Trust and obey. There's no other way. You can't work enough. There's no ladder to climb. There's no pillars to keep. No, the essence of that relationship is faith, trust, and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, watch this. Then it goes on to say, but we never can prove the delight of His love until what? Until all on the altar we lay. That is obedience. That's to lay down your life on what? On this promise that is concrete that God has given to us. That is the strength of faith. And it comes by exercising it and doing it. Let me ask you a simple question here. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe all of it's true? Now, let me ask you another question. Do you keep everything and obey everything in the Bible? Do you obey it all? Okay. What you do not obey is what you do not believe, because the rest is just talk. Did you get that? It's easy to say, I believe the Word of God. I believe it from cover to cover. What are you doing? Are you obeying it? Trust and obey. Not just to believe, but it is to obey. It's to obey. It's to obey. And you can trust that evidence that He's given. You can trust it completely. Suppose you had a tooth that's really bothering you, and the dentist said you need to have a filling there. And I'd come and say, you know, I really like, I've got a lot of tools, and the Dremel tool I really like, you know, and there's a little bit on it. Would you trust me? Just open your mouth. Show me which tooth is giving you a problem. And I got this little Dremel tool. In fact, I got two of them, and I got little bits in them. I could drill that thing out of there. I got some fishing anchors, and I could melt those, put some lead in there. Now, would anyone trust me? Now, would you trust a good dentist? See, that is not blind faith. That is built on evidence. you have no evidence that I can do anything. There are some evidence of your dentist that you would be willing to open your mouth, let him jab a needle in there to deaden it. Doesn't that sound good? And then start drilling. And you trust him or her. You trust them completely. That's laying it all on the altar. That's laying it all down. And that's what he's saying. That's a relationship. When a couple gets married and the bride and groom are standing in front of you, the husband looks at that bride and they are at the altar. There's a reason why that's called an altar. And there at the altar, he lays aside every other possible bride in the world just for one. And she lays on the altar every other available person in the world for that one. Because there is no meaningful relationship with love until it's all laid on the altar. So you can't have a loving relationship with God until all on the altar you lay. And some of you are still thinking that, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. That is the kind of faith that's built on a feeling. And I can assure you that it will fizzle before the finish. Okay, another by faith, he says in verse 9. He said, by faith he went to live in the land of promise. Another place in the scripture said he went out to the place he did not know where he's going. Now, I know some of you go out and you don't know where you're going. That's not what we're talking about here, faith. God has called him to go out. See, he went. That moves us outside of our comfort zone. Every time you take steps of faith, it's going to move you outside of your comfort zone. Had a gentleman here the last hour that said that he is actually his ministry, and he's been called to another church area. And he said, boy, he's really concerned about this. And he said, I'm stepping out in faith that some way God has called me. It's been a whisper, and you go. The Holy Spirit whispers, and you go. And a lot of times you go out and not know. I remember when I sensed that God was calling me to the ministry, and I fought that, and I fought that, and then I finally surrendered, and then I fought against coming to seminary. And then I still remember on the campus next door, pulling up in that old rental truck, didn't even have the money to get a U-Haul. That was first class, you know, considering what I drove up. And I remember driving on the campus and thinking, I have no idea where this is going. I have no idea. I look back, it's very interesting, I look back on that and think, this is the first church I visited when I came to seminary. I had no idea where it was going. I didn't have any idea how God was going to use me. Pastored during those days in a little church in North Missouri. Had no idea where that was going. Ultimately, it came to that God began to work through us and to the place that became the largest Baptist church in the state of Missouri. Had no idea where I was going. Then after that, went to Chicago and was on staff of a church of 20-some thousand on the weekend. Had no idea. I remember sitting in my office looking out over the lake and thinking, how in the world did this happen? I had no idea where this was going. And then God began to whisper, Briarcliff. I thought, I have lost my mind for sure now to work in a little place over there with just Hazel and a few others. And now that's opened up to a mega church of Briarcliff. See, I had no, and I, quite frankly, I don't have any idea where we're going now. I just think the only thing I know to do is to trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way. to be happy in Jesus. I'm not trying to climb a ladder. I'm not trying to fulfill five pillars. I've just found that the happy way is to trust and obey. Trust and obey. He goes on then in verse 17, and this gets a little bit tougher. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested. You remember what the test was? What was the test? Imagine you have this test. You have this test that God whispers and says, I want you to sacrifice your son on the altar. And say, no way. Now, get this a little bit deeper. Who is that son? Isaac. He is the one that God has promised to work through his heritage that will one day be the coming of the Messiah, the Redeemer of all mankind. And God says, offer him as a sacrifice. There are times that God does not make sense. And there are times that you do like Abraham. And Abraham, this does not make any sense to him whatsoever. But he obeys. He obeys. And he places his son on the altar. And on their way up there, Isaac says, where is the sacrifice? They get ready to build the altar. And he lays his son on the altar. Raises back the knife. And I would say that is the ultimate test. Here's what 1 Peter says about that kind of test or any kind of test. Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter to people as under tremendous persecution. And he says in chapter 1, verse 7, trials or test will show that your faith is genuine. Your faith is not genuine just because you go to the Bible class and you've studied the Bible and you know all about the Bible and you know all about creeds and you know all about doctrines. No, it comes through test that we go through. To test. Why does God do that? You can bank on this. He will test your faith. Because he wants you to see how genuine it is. Ladies, have you ever thought about taking that big diamond ring and I understand this is true, that a diamond will cut glass. Why don't you just take that diamond and cut down through that glass out there in the lobby? Say, honey, I just wanted to test it for sure. Would he say, go for it? But he says, oh, no, she's going to find out it's not real, you know. He will allow tests, and I don't like them. I've never in all my life had anyone to come to a classroom of exam day and say, man, I am so excited I have a test to take today. No, we don't get excited about that. But it is a way that God shows us how authentic and genuine our faith really is. Now, what God wants is not the sacrifice. He wants the obedience. So, Abraham drew back the knife, ready to slay his son. And God said, stop. You're willing to sacrifice, but your obedience is what I was looking for. Now I know you will obey. Now he becomes the father of the nation of Israel. Now he becomes the one that the lineage of his family tree will produce the Son of God, Jesus, that take away the sin of the world. When God began to call me to the ministry, I loved doing music. I did youth. That was my first two church jobs. And I said, God, I am willing to do music. I'm willing to give my life. I'll turn over all this business, and I will be a music minister, and I'll do the very best that I can. And I considered that a pretty big sacrifice. And God, in essence, was saying, I don't want your sacrifice. I want you to obey me. You see, you may think you're making great sacrifices, but it's obedience. It's obedience that God is looking for. And here's the reasoning of Abraham. Look at it in verse 19. He considered, the word considered there means reason or logic, to reason out that, and he says, let me just read it. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. Now, there'd never been a resurrection. Who ever even thought of resurrection? And Abraham thought in his mind, God that made this promise, he's able. I don't know how this is going to happen, but he is able, and I'll do it. And it goes on to say, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive his son back because of his obedience. Trust and obey. Are you obeying the whisper of God? Are you taking time every day? See, some people say, well, I never hear a whisper from God. Are you taking time every day to listen? And you listen through his word. Faith comes by, the scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. The way that you will hear is seeking his voice and just reading every single day, searching to hear him and his whisper, and then obey. Hear his whisper and obey. Hear his whisper. Will you open your ears to hear? Will you obey? Do you believe the Bible? Are you doing what it says? Trust and obey. Let's read the words here before we sing them. Read them with me. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the light of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, the joy he bestows, are for those who will trust and obey. Only for those are you willing to trust him wholeheartedly. You've never come to that point. All you have to do is say, okay, God, I lay my life down. It's yours. I trust you. Forgive me and cleanse me. Here's the sacrifice. But more than that, my obedience. Let's pray together before we sing it. Lord, thank you that we're not locked in to have to try to climb some ladder. We're not locked in to keeping certain laws or pillars of faith. Thank you that you revealed a promise to us that is assurance. It is evidence. All over the place, the assurance and evidence that we can stake our life on, knowing that following you is the best way to live and the only way to die. I stake my life on that. I trust that everybody here is staking their life on that. For those that are not, that this morning would be a time that they'd cross that line of faith and say, okay, God, I do as Abraham. I trust you. And you will then count it for them righteousness, and there's no other way. Thank you for the promise. Accept this as our song to you this morning. Amen.